to the Clean Slate with your hosts, Daniel Garza and Carson Phillips, providing you with movie news, reviews, and more. Sit back, relax, and don't forget to go to the concessions and get your snacks and your drinks. For your entertainment, this is the Clean Slate Podcast.
Welcome back to the Clean Slate Podcast. I'm your host, KG Pill, here with DA Gar.
I don't know. It's just fun to see your brain at work sometimes.
It doesn't work though. Yeah, guys, we're back again. Thank you for that wonderful introduction from our friend Justin. Justin, should we plug his music real quick since we haven't done an interview with him yet?
We're gonna have Justin on pretty soon, but we wanted to just give him a quick shout out. He is releasing.
Okay, this is the weirdest episode to plug his music in.
Which one is this? Oh yeah, it kind of is. Anyway,
he's
probably not even going to listen to this episode, to be honest.
We'll plug it in corporate.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, so he is releasing some music for his band called
Propositions.
And
not prepositions.
I always say prepositions because I used to make a joke of it. I'd be like, oh, you mean prepositions? So yeah, guys, it's Propositions.
That's a good joke.
And we will be plugging it on our Instagram, but yeah, go support our guy. Go support the guy who created our intro, and he continues to create our intro for free. So go listen to his music.
No, he's doing this pro bono.
Yeah, that is true. Well, we gave him a shirt, so as a thank you.
That's true.
Which, so by the way, I have to drop that off to him. Anyway.
Yeah, he was asking, are you going to mail it to him? Or?
Well,
you got to do this.
I texted him separately.
Good.
Okay, so do you want to do this movie in chronological order?
You mean in order that the story happens or in order of release?
In order of the story.
I think order of release is better.
Really? Okay. Let's do that.
I think it's a cooler reveal. All right, guys. So this is a movie that Daniel and I loved upon release. We did record an entire episode of it that you guys will never get to hear because that was pre-microphone Carson days, secretly recording in a closet at Biola. It's not up to the quality that we like, but we gushed over this movie.
Yeah.
This is X. This is A24. Film directed by Ty West. It came out last year.
Yep.
2022, for those of you who are listening in the future. This film premiered at South by Southwest. It stars Mia Goth and Jenna Ortega, among some other, a great cast overall, honestly. You want to read the log line for them?
Okay, here we go. In 1979, a group of young filmmakers set out to make an adult film in rural Texas, but when their reclusive elderly hosts catch them in the act, the cast finds themselves fighting for their lives. That's a pretty good description. There is a lot to talk about here in this movie. A lot of mystery here, too, because you don't know exactly, until the very end, you don't know exactly why, like, the hosts, the old people, are like so hateful. Yeah, exactly.
A good reason.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for sure. One thing I was gonna say is that, like, Mia Goth plays her character,
the old lady,
and she plays the old lady,
and which I didn't know the first time I watched this.
Oh really? I think I knew. I found out afterwards.
They got a crazy, like, athletic old lady to pull this off.
Right?
Like, how is she doing this stuff?
Yeah, no, dude. But the old lady is super creepy. Oh, by the way, yeah, we need to just trigger warning this movie. First off, before we get into it, it's got just about everything. It has a lot of gore, a lot of, like, dismemberment. It has a lot of crushing of things, and it has some nudity in it as well. and language. So, guys, you've been warned. This yes. is a very, very R-rated movie. Anyway, so back into that. Mia Goth plays her character of, like, you know, the actress that wants to be super famous and everything like that, which is kind of funny. I'll talk about yeah. that in the next movie. But then she plays the grandma, which is this, like, old, creepy, decrepit, like, thing. And old lady. Yeah, and it's just, like, the entire time, even now when I rewatched it, I was like, where's the, like, bad-looking prosthetic, like, or, like, the makeup and different things like that? And
it looks so good.
To be honest, it looks so good. And it looks, like, scary good. Apparently,
she would spend, like, 12 hours on set just getting all the prosthetics done.
That's crazy, dude. Yeah, she looked gross.
I feel like watching a behind the scenes of this would be really, really worthwhile.
Yeah, it'd be entertaining, too.
Another thing to mention that's kind of cool about this, I know we're just kind of, like, saying what we like about it right now, but something that really worked well for me was the fact that this is a... like an homage to like slasher films of the 70s. Specifically, you can see a lot of the DNA in this is from Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah.
So if you want to listen to that, but it has like very similar vibes, maybe Psycho a little bit, hints of Psycho. But I just think that works so well with this movie, like all this weird, like references to these older slasher films. But it's still a very modern movie, and it kind of takes the kind of the direction a lot of these A24 films where there is social commentary going on. This one, I don't know if it straight up tells you what you should think. I think it's a little bit more nuanced than that. But there's definitely like a lot of really interesting themes throughout this movie
yeah.
that I think are worth looking at.
Okay, so let's quickly get into likes and dislikes real quick. Overall, for me, likes are it's a really good cinematography shot movie. I love the music. The sound effects are crazy. The acting overall is really, really good. There,
yeah.
To be honest, I don't know if I have a problem with this movie. Like,
yeah.
The only thing,
honestly.
Okay, wait, go ahead. Yeah, go.
I was just saying, honestly, I really have no issues with this movie at all. Like, I absolutely love this movie. The only, so I think, again, like you were saying, the cinematography is great. It really captures this time period well with still feeling very modern at the same time.
Yeah.
I think it explores the themes really well without, like, sugar feeding it to you. The only theme I wish maybe, this is, like, my only, like, dislike, is I kind of wish they would have expanded on this over-the-top evangelical.
Yeah, okay, I was just going to say that, yeah.
I think that might show up in the third film that's coming out.
Okay.
Maxine with three X's. I'm very excited for that movie. I'm really curious to see what direction they take it in. And I hope they explore that. Because there's the whole idea that Mia Goth's character in this is like Maxine. That she is related to some like culty pastor guy or something. I'm not.
Yeah, that's kind of, that's what I was like wondering too. If like she was the daughter of the pastor on the TV.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was actually what.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see what that's gonna be about.
That's what I was gonna say. Was my thing. I was like, you know, that wasn't explained really at all. However, I mean, I think it would be kind of explained when you think about like, oh, maybe this is the reason why the hosts are killing. But then, because of the prequel, you figure out there's something different. Yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely more to it.
Okay, but my only real hang up with this movie, and it's not even good, and it's not even like detrimental to the movie at all.
What?
Was when Jenna Ortega.
Kid Cudi.
No, Kid Cudi was pretty good in it.
He actually is surprisingly good in this movie.
Okay, well, now two things. One thing that I thought was really, really cheesy was when they sing, what's her name? From Pitch Perfect is in this. One of the main characters from Pitch Perfect. Not Anna Kendrick, but the one. Yeah,
what's her name? Is it Brittany Snow? Yes.
Yes. So she sings.
I think.
I've been changing. Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, that's a little cheesy.
Like they just start playing it, and cheesy. I was like, "Wait, what? What does this song even have to do with the plot or anything?"
It is cheesy. It is cheesy, but you know what? I kind of like
No, it. I think it feels wholesome. Yes, it does. But
I actually really love all the characters in this. Like, I didn't want any of them to die.
Right. But it for me, it felt the equivalent to at the end of Conjuring 2, where what's his name pulls out his guitar and plays Can't Help But Falling in Love with Elvis Presley after, like, this demon just haunts.
No, that is so much worse.
So
that was so much worse than that.
Yeah. So that was kind of cheesy. And then my second thing was when Jenna Ortega is like, she's trapped in that basement. She, like, starts running away. Like, Mia Goth is like,
she cucks her boyfriend.
No, not that. But that is heartbreaking, though.
That scene made me want to throw up.
But Mia Goth is like, she's like, hey, don't, like, run. We need to be, you know, sneaky to get out of here. And she's like, no, I hate you. I don't want to be like you. And she starts running and then just gets shot by the shotgun. And it's just like.
She deserved it.
Yeah, I think she deserved it, but it was such a crappy way to go out. So, again.
The kills in this are great, by the way. There's some really great kills.
Yes.
For a couple old people murdering fools?
Yeah, I think so. And I would say it's relatively realistic.
Like, yeah, the gore feels a little bit more realistic. Grimy, maybe?
Yes.
Kind of like Texas Chainsaw?
My favorite, though, is how the old man dies.
Oh, my gosh, dude. Okay, let's... That's a good transition into Pearl.
Yep. Okay, guys. So next we have Ty West's prequel to X, which is Pearl.
Pearl.
An
extraordinary origin story.
Yep.
Emphasis on the X. Let me preface this with the end of X, if you watched it in theaters, showed a sneak peek of Pearl. And it came out the same year.
Yep.
It came out a few months later.
He wrote them back to back.
Which is crazy. I have a shirt, a Pearl shirt. So I really liked this movie enough to buy a really expensive shirt for no reason. So this one's good. Let's talk about it.
Okay, cool. In 1918, a young woman on the brink of madness pursues stardom in a desperate attempt to escape the drudgery, isolation, and lovelessness of life on her parents' farm. So, guys.
So this one's interesting.
Yes.
Theme-wise.
Mia Goth is also the lead character in this one, just simply because... she played the grandma in X. You want to break it down a little bit? Because this one has an actual plot to it.
Yeah, this one's a little bit more... This isn't a slasher as much. It's kind of a drama film more. With, obviously, intense violence.
Yeah, still trigger warning.
Less sexual content. Less nudity in this one, I would say. But
is there any nudity? It's,
they watch...
Oh, like right, yes. Yes, yes, okay.
Thing. But it's not, yeah, if X was too much for you, I think Pearl you'll be able to handle a little bit better.
If nudity is your only hang-up in horror movies.
Yeah, because this has, well, it still has less violence, too.
No, there's way more dismemberment in this movie.
Okay, this one has, yeah, that's true. I kind of forgot about that one scene that, yeah. Anyways, this one is more, instead of being like 70s slasher vibes, it leans more Golden Age of Hollywood vibes.
Yeah.
As far as filming and the transitions, like the wipes across the screen and stuff are very,
yeah,
like old school.
For sure.
Think of like Wizard of Oz or like Mary Poppins.
Mm-hmm.
But like if those were perverted by Ty West. And yeah, so plot wise, this is 1918. We're coming to the end of the war at the time. Pearl, we find out, is a German immigrant and she's in their Texas homestead with her mom and father, and her father has been paralyzed due to, I believe, the influenza pandemic. I don't know what. I'm not up on my history of 1918, but I think it was like influenza. I don't know.
Yeah, it was something like that.
I bet you COVID happened like around the time they were wrapping X.
Maybe. Okay. Yeah, but then
they were filmed back to back, so the fact they were able to pull this off is kind of
crazy. Right. But there, then again, there's only two scenes where there's masks wearing, which to me it was just like, wait, what? Did they have to do this? Because well, the rest was, of the scenes so they the didn't thing even
there
do.
There was
them.
Mask wearing in this time period, though. It was different than like obviously COVID, but it still happened. But anyways, so this was going on. And she has, like, farm animals, and you kind of learn something is off with Pearl.
Yep.
She's a little deranged. She's waiting for her husband to come back from the war. He's not. So she's kind of losing her mind. She physically abuses her father, Loki, who is in a wheelchair. He can't talk or move.
She kind of sexually taunts him, too, a little bit. Like, where she bathes in front of him.
Yeah, there's some weirdness going on there. Yeah, that was weird. That was gross. And then, yeah, she kills farm animals. She just killed this goose.
I know. Like, so sad. She kills Mother Goose.
It's just so random. But, like, she's a little out of it. She's obsessed with stardom, though. So whenever she goes to town, she tries to watch films. She kind of has a love affair with the projectionist.
Yeah.
Rip. He doesn't realize how crazy she is. So there's all that. You also get to know her sister-in-law. But basically, the whole thing is she really wants to leave this farm. She wants to get out there. She wants to be a star. She wants to have the X factor, you might say. And you get to see how her, basically her lust for stardom drives her insane. And yeah, she might have already been crazy before this, but she's much worse than before.
Yeah, I think she is already crazy before this. One of the things I think, the scenes that I thought was one of the most beautiful, besides her like crazy monologue that she does,
that monologue is amazing. Yeah. I teared up during the monologue and I'm like, I'm not supposed to root for this.
Yeah, I know, right? It just shows you how crazy good Mia Goth is and how, like, talented she is.
That performance, yeah.
Anyway, so one of the scenes that I thought gave some really good context was in she is, like, fighting with her mom. It's, like, the whole scene right before the big fight with her mom. But she says, I've seen the stuff you do. I've seen the, like, the craziness in your...
The stuff you do in
private. Yeah, exactly. And she's like, trust me, when they find out who you are, they're like, nobody's going to want to, like, whatever. And it just, like, that was the tipping point in the movie for Pearl to, like, freak out. But it was also the kind of, like, context that we needed. Like, okay, she isn't just going insane, going mad. Like, she's legitimately, like, a psychopath. Anyway.
When then we find out this is why when in X, like, she's been repressing this dark side for so long.
Yeah.
And her husband's been helping her repress it. And when it finally gets let loose, honestly, I think out of jealousy. Because it seems like Maxine's character is at least trying to live the dream that Pearl wanted to
experience. Exactly, yeah. I think there was some...
There's also the idea that Maxine was able to overcome Pearl because she also had the same dream. So she was also like fighting back to an extreme level because of that. So there's some interesting stuff there too.
Yeah. One line that is, I think it's funny, and if you guys watch this movie back to back, you'll get it. But in X... Pearl kills the what is the Pitch Perfect girl's name again? Snow.
I don't remember. I just said it too.
Something Snow. She kills her, but then she says, once she kills her, she goes, "I hate blondes." But I thought that was like a perfect like.
Oh yeah.
Because it didn't make sense in the movie, and I was like, why would they have that in there? But then when you watch Pearl, you're like, whoa, okay.
Like, there's a reason.
Yeah, so I just want to commend Ty West for that. That was just like, I was wondering if there was going to be any slip-ups between Pearl and X in continuity with it all. But I think for the most part, it was like really good, held on to it. Anyway, okay, cool. We have to wrap this up because this is way longer than we wanted to go.
It's a long boy.
Yeah, but guys... Check out these
also, movies. Why does Howard stay with her? He's a freaking psychopath.
Yeah, he is too. But then again, he just got back from the war from murdering people too. So,
whoa.
Anyway, Let's unpack them. Both of these movies I think are available to rent. I don't know if they're on any streaming services, but
I'm not sure. I own them. So
yeah, I had to rent them. But go check them out, guys. They are some of the, shut up. They are some of the best movies of the, I would say, of our series. They're really good. So, yeah, if you're a fan, you can get by behind all the like gore and horror stuff, then go do it. But if not, then, yeah, huge trigger warnings for both of them. Anyway, guys, so tomorrow we have another throwback movie for you, or kind of a childhood throwback for some of you. We will be watching The Corpse Bride so that you can either rent it or I think it's on Max. So... check it out there and keep,
I think it's on Max.
Yeah, keep following along with us. And we are, I think we're just in the middle. Oh, by the way, 100th episode. Congratulations. We did it.
Oh, yeah, this is our 100th episode, guys.
We made it to 100 episodes.
Don't fact check us.
Shh, don't say that. Because then they will.
I think we're over 100 episodes.
Okay, then don't say that.
Technically, this is just... if you count, No, I'm saying if you count like the short.
Oh, and the chit chats. Yeah.
But I'm not counting those. I'm counting actual episodes.
Yeah, this is our 100th whole podcast episode, guys. So round of applause for us. We're good. Anyway, we will see you guys.
You should edit in a round of applause.
I will. We will see you guys tomorrow for the Corpse Bride and, yeah, and many more this month.
That's a clean slate.